demand your mutual rights from one another. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, He is a watcher over you. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah and always speak the truth. He will direct you to do righteous deeds and forgive your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great victory. As to what precedes or what follows, verily the best of speech is the Book of Allah. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of evils are innovations, and every innovation is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a dalala, a misguidance, a deviation, a going astray. And every dalala is in the fire. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah for allowing us to be alive and healthy on this Friday, what appears to be the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. And of course, we realize and we've been receiving a great deal of information during this month on the valuable lessons that we should strive to observe and try to put in place in our lives. And of course, coming towards the end of this blessed and very beneficial month, we should be developing a type of strength and a type of insight, because we are recognizing that this indeed is a month of patience, developing patience. It is a month of developing self-control. It is a month of developing mercy towards our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. It is also a month where we can also see some of the great benefits that the fasting has on our health. And there's something that we should, inshallah ta'ala, focus our attention on during this the month, especially during the end of this month, and that is one of the most valuable lessons that we should try to take out of the month of Ramadan. And that is the lesson of recognizing that change is possible for us. And this is a very important principle that we should strive to develop within ourselves, to recognize that change is possible, that we can adjust our schedules, that we can strive to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we can change ourselves in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about the promises that He has given us in the Quran and through the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So towards the end of this month, we should be all hoping and we should be having some intention in our lives, now that some of these principles have been put into place, that we should be striving to change our habits, to change our schedules, in order for us to benefit more from the great lessons that we receive during this month. And for sure, you know, we can see in this month, we can see that those Muslim brothers, unfortunately, who are smoking cigarettes, that during the hours of fasting, they are stopping. They are not smoking the cigarettes. They're giving this up. And this lets us know that change is definitely possible. And we also see that those Muslim brothers and sisters who, in any other time of the month, that they are not spending quality time reading the Quran, pondering over the Quran, that in the month of Ramadan they make time and they change their schedules in order for them to read the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to try to draw closer to Allah with the guidance that He has given us in the Quran. And we also see during this month that change is possible when we look in the masjids and they become full, especially during the time of Tarawih, a time when we all come to the masjid and we stand in Qiyam al-Layl and we are having Iman and Ihtisab, we're having this type of faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the expectation or seeking Allah's bounties and seeking His forgiveness from our sins and our shortcomings, that in any other time of the year, we see that the masjids are not as full. But during the month of Ramadan, we see that the masjids become full, and many of us begin to change our schedules, we begin to change our course of activity throughout the day, and we make time for the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded and have put as an obligation on us. So when we look at this principle of change, we can see that it is possible for the Muslims to adjust themselves in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us up and to develop the desired Muslim that has been described in the Quran. And this is a very important point, and it is also a very important question that we should ask ourselves while we are reading the Quran. We should ask ourselves, are we the Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing in the Quran? Are we those people who fit the description of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be in the Quran and in the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if we can get a distant no, then for sure we should be striving and we should be working and we should be trying to develop ourselves and giving each other nasiha and giving each other the advice that we need in order for us to bring ourselves up, in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with our actions, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us the dignity, the honor, the respect, and the position of quwwa, might, and authority in the land, the same way that he has bestowed it upon those who came before us. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has given us some very lasting advice during this month and any other month, because we know that primarily during the month of Ramadan, the effort to develop taqwa is a very, very basic principle that we should all strive to obtain and secure during this month. And we know in Surah Baqarah, Ayat 183, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very clear injunction when he has expressed, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you might attain taqwa. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has advised us on this taqwa in order for us to understand that taqwa is not just limited to a certain time and a certain place. And there's a tradition, and Abi Dharr Jundub ibn Junada wa Abi Abdurrahman Ma'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhuma an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt wa atbi' as-sayyi'at al-hasanata tamhuha wa khaliq an-nas bi khuluqin hasan. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you may be, and follow up a bad deed with a good one, and it will wipe it out, and behave well towards the people. So we can see in this particular tradition that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is advising us to ittaqillaha haythuma kunt, to have taqwa wherever you are. Not just during the month of Ramadan, or not just doing, you know, the activity that we have in our homes or in the masjid, but ittaqillaha haythuma kunt, that we should have taqwa wherever we are. And this is the type of taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves from his servant. The individual who is striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every time and in every situation. The one who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regardless of where he or she might be. This is the type of taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And the commandment to develop taqwa during the month of Ramadan, it should be a lasting taqwa. Actually, it should be a type of taqwa that we take out of this month of Ramadan after we have put these principles in place of patience, sabr, kindness, generosity, that we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we take this forward into the next month, the month after that, and throughout the year. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he intends to engender in us when we are striving with our time and with our abstaining from food and drink to develop this type of taqwa. And just to mention a couple other points, this hadith is very beneficial because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, wa atbi' as-sayyi'at al-hasanata tamhuha wa khaliq an-nas bi khuluqin hasan. He says, and follow up a bad deed with a good deed, and it will wipe it out, and behave well towards the people. And we know, once again, that this is something that we should be striving to do throughout the year, striving to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the next point, inshallah ta'ala, we should keep in mind while we are reading the Quran and adjusting our schedules, whereas we can spend some time pondering and focusing on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in Surah Al-Baqarah once again, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book which there is no doubt guidance for those who are al-muttaqoon, those who have taqwa. So once again we are seeing that actually the taqwa is a centerpiece, that when an individual has this type of taqwa, that it actually acts as a prerequisite for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran to come to him. And this is a very important point, because in this month we should be striving to develop the guidance, or we should be striving to develop taqwa, but we are developing this taqwa in order for guidance to come to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. Translation: the month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and a clear proof for the guidance, and a criterion, a furqan, between right and wrong. So whoever of you cites, and it has a tafsir, cites the crescent during this night of month, or this night in this month, he must fast in this month, or he must fast that month. So some of the grammarians, they have expressed that the reason why an individual is fasting, and this term famen, which means so whoever, that it basically expresses everything or whatever comes before it is the reason why the command that comes after it. So we are seeing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us a guidance for mankind and a clear proof for the guidance, and a furqan for man. So whosoever cites the month, he must fast. So many scholars say that it is because the Quran was sent down in this month that this is the reason why we are fasting and we are abstaining from food and drink, in order for us to get the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for us. And we can see a perfect chain of events happening here when we actually ponder over these few verses that I quoted. That for one, we know that the Quran is many things, but for sure it is a book of guidance for mankind, first and foremost, more than anything else. That the Quran is a book that gives us guidance and gives us our success in this life. So the Quran was sent down from the Lawhi Mahfuz to the Bayt al-Izzah, to the lower heaven, and we know that this event, when it happened, this is Laylatul Qadr, and we are in search of Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But at the same time, it is expressed that it is because of the Quran being sent down and the Quran being revealed as a book of guidance, this is why we are fasting. This is why we are abstaining from food and drink. And of course, the fasting and abstaining from food and drink is to do what? To develop taqwa, to develop this quality of consciousness on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us tremendously with this book, this guidance, and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we begin to ponder over this and have this type of consciousness about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, then inshallah ta'ala, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book which there is no doubt a guidance for those who are al-muttaqoon. So we can see taqwa and guidance, that these two things are going hand in hand, reading the book of Allah, pondering over the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order that we might be saved in this life. The next point, inshallah ta'ala, I would like to mention is the importance of striving to stick to the Quran, and understanding that this is a book that would definitely bring us up. And of course, if we wanted to focus on how the generations in the past have been successful, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them authority in the land, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them out of every difficulty and every hardship. It was because of the Quran. So if we cling to the Quran and we ponder over the Quran and we take the Quran as a book of guidance in our lives, for sure this will be a way out for us also. We know during a time when the Muslims are experiencing a great deal of hardship, a great deal of difficulty, as a people who are constantly striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get the peace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for those who submit to Him. But at the same time, we see the Muslims are being, you know, blamed, and the Muslims are being, you know, accused of being, you know, violent, or being people who, you know, take the rights of others unlawfully, people who are killing innocent lives and so forth and so on. When we know that, in fact, the Muslims are those who are striving with their utmost ability to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to submit to Him, and to get the intended peace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for all of humanity. So we have to ponder over the Quran, and we have to ask ourselves, what is the problem? Why are the Muslims facing so much difficulty and hardship? And there's a very important verse in Surah Al-Furqan, ayat 30, where the Prophet Muhammad, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ يَا رَبِّي إِنَّا قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا قُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. He says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O my Lord, my people have taken this Quran as something mahjur, to be avoided or to be shunned. And this is in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually says, Rasul ya Rabbi inna qawmi takhadu, my people, qawmi takhadu hadha al-Qur'ana mahjura, that my people have taken this Quran as something mahjur, something avoided. And a great scholar by the name of Ibn Qayyim, he has expressed that this term mahjur has to be understood in the proper way. And if we understand mahjur, to shun the Quran or to avoid the Quran, we will see that this is something that we have to initially strive to secure in our lives in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing, in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us up and improve our standards and our status in this life. Ibn Qayyim, he has said that first, that mahjur, it means to avoid listening to the Quran, or reciting the Quran, or paying attention to the Quran. And we can see that this is a very important, one of the very important definitions of the Quran, because if we're not spending time listening to the Quran, reciting the Quran, or even paying attention to it, that this is actually shunning the Quran, putting it off on the side, or, you know, actually not focusing attention on it. He goes on to say that al-mahjur also means avoid acting in accordance with the commandments in the Quran on what is haram and what is halal. And we can see that this is something that is unfortunately a grave problem in the Muslim ummah today. And we see many of our Muslim brothers and sisters are violating the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one way or another. And for sure, there's a thing that is called commission sins, and there are omission sins. That of course, if we do something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us not to do, that this is a sin. This is haram, for sure. But we also should focus our attention on the omitted sins. And those are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have informed us that we must do. The things that are fard, they are wajib upon us. These are things that we must do. And the individual who doesn't do that, that this is also a sin. So this can also be something that will hold the people back, or hold a person back, or put a person in a bad light in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim, he says that this is another point that we should keep in mind, that avoiding acting upon the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a type of mahjur also. He goes on to say that mahjur also is avoiding accepting the Quran as an arbitrator or a judge concerning fundamental as well as secondary matters. That if we begin to not look towards the Quran as a book of guidance, that this can be something that is blameworthy. The next point that Ibn Qayyim says, he says, avoid pondering over the meaning, or pondering over its meaning and understanding on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is desiring from our reading. And this is the starting point. Because in fact, if an individual is reading the Quran, but we are not pondering over the meaning of the Quran, then for sure, we could be reading verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us to do something, and we're not responding at all, because we're not pondering over the meaning of the Quran. And at the same time, we should read the Quran, and unfortunately, many of us who can't understand the Arabic fully, or we are reading, you know, some other language, that we should spend some time, you know, reading the Quran in the language that we can understand, and even, you know, to get a meaning on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us, you know, incline towards that translation of the Quran in whatever language it might be, that we should strive to spend a considerable amount of time also reading in whatever language we understand in order for us to get the desired message. And at the same time, we should all be students of knowledge, and we should be striving to learn Arabic. This is a very important point that we have to bring forth, that actually there's no serious, wa alaykum salaam wa rahmatullah, there's no serious student of knowledge, there's no serious student of knowledge who wouldn't strive to incline towards the Arabic itself. Because we know that the wahi, or the revelation, is in the Arabic language, and we should spend a considerable amount of time striving to learn that language that the Quran was revealed in order for us to get the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended. And the last point that Ibn Qayyim has mentioned, he says, we avoid using it as a healing or a cure for the diseases of the heart. And this is also a type of mahjur, when we don't read the Quran as a healing, or as, you know, something that can cure the diseases of the heart. And subhanAllah, we can see that there are so many diseases that, you know, begin to settle in the heart of man when we are not reading the book of Allah and pondering over the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for sure, there are many ayats in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the Quran is a type of healing for the diseases of the heart. The next point, inshallah ta'ala, I would like to make is that the generations in the past, and specifically the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that they clearly understood that the Quran was a book of a book that will give them success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal 24, translation means, O you who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger as they call you to that which will give you life. Once again, O you who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger as they call you to that which will give you life. So we can see that the Quran, first and foremost, is a book that will give us life. It will revive us. It will bring us up. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, informing us on our duties and responsibilities, He has said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرُ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ كُنْتُمْ خَيْرُ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, that you are the best of communities. You have been raised up, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, under the condition that you enjoin what is good, you prohibit what is wrong, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can see that this is a very, very important understanding that we should keep in mind, that this Quran and this deen is something that would definitely give us life. And we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that even Umar ibn Khattab, he has expressed, كُنَّ أَذَلُّ قَوْمْ فَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ, that we were a lowly people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has elevated us with Islam. So we can see that many of the companions, that they understood perfectly that it was the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who elevated them and who gave them dignity, honor, and respect in this world. And unfortunately, we can look at some of the quotes of some of the enemies of Islam as well, and they knew very well that it was the Quran that was the number one source to give the Muslims power and give them authority in the land. And there's one quote by an individual by the name of William E. Gladstone, who was a four-time Prime Minister of Great Britain. And he is on record as saying or addressing the English Parliament. He said, as long as this Quran exists, you will never be able to conquer the Islamic East. As long as this Quran exists, that England will never be successful at conquering the Islamic East. So we can see that many of the enemies, they knew that the source of strength and power of the Muslims was the Quran itself. And even some of the great da'is or the activists of the past, I know that there's a very important talk by Sayyid Qutb, and he expresses how it is important for the Muslim to stay in contact with the Quran. And he has said that the enemies of Islam, they're striving day and night to separate the Muslims from the Quran in the language of the Quran. So once the Muslims are not learning Arabic, once they are not understanding the importance of the Quran, once they are not putting a great deal of attention on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we begin to see that major source of guidance and that major source of strength for the Muslims begins to go down. And for sure, you know, if we look at ourselves today, we can see that many of us, that we are purely ignorant to the Quran. We have no understanding on the Arabic. We have no understanding in even the information that is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is considered to be Kalam Allah, the book of Allah. And as I mentioned in the beginning, we said that in Laylatul Qadr, this was a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know the Lawhi Mahfuz, everything that has been decreed to come into existence, it was recorded on the Lawhi Mahfuz. In the Quran as well. And the Quran was sent down to the Bayt al-Izzah, to the lower heaven, Sama' al-Dunya, to the lower heaven. And it is from the Bayt al-Izzah that the angel Jibril alayhi salam, that he took the Quran in piecemeal according to the situation or the circumstances that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions found themselves in, and he would take the Quran from the Bayt al-Izzah and respond to the conditions and the circumstances. So if we ponder over this, this is a miraculous miracle within itself. When the Quran was revealed in whole, it was sent down to the Bayt al-Izzah in whole, and then the angel Jibril alayhi salam is waiting for man to conduct his affairs in order for the Quran to answer those issues and answer those situations and answer those circumstances. And this is a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know there's something that is called asbab al-nuzul, the reason why that certain verses were sent down. And there were certain issues and certain situations that occurred amongst the Muslims, amongst the companions, amongst Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is because of them issues and them circumstances that the revelation was given to answer those situations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for sure, He has given us a great mercy and a great blessing in this month by giving us the Quran as a guidance. And of course, in the Lawhi Mahfuz, we can also focus our attention on our own actions, because everything is recorded. So we should look at ourselves and ask ourselves, how are we responding to the Quran, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we take a position of ghafla, you know, just heedlessness, as though these ayats or these verses don't apply to us? Because if we do, this is a type of ghurur, this is a type of deception. When an individual doesn't think that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, that it doesn't apply to us. Or are we the type of people who are looking at the Quran, and when we come across those verses where the commandments of Allah come across, we at least have the niyyah, the intentions in our heart to put it into practice. When the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come, we have this type of desire where we want to secure the promise of Allah. When Allah's punishment or His threat is in the Quran, or Allah talks about how He is punish the certain people that we have apprehension, whereas we want to avoid that situation or those circumstances of disobedience in order for us not to taste the punishment of Allah. And we should think about these type of things and have at least the attitude where when we read the Quran, we are approaching the Quran with this type of spirit, and inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us and guide us on the path to the straight. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakallah for listening.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.